Firestorms, quite the sight to behold. When forest fires get hot enough, they create their own weather systems. Thus, instead of rain or wind blowing throughout a fire, it swirls of heat and flames. These twirls and whirls of flames can encapsulate trees within seconds, bringing forth unimaginable destruction in the blink of an eye. They're mesmerizing and terrifying all at the same time, observed safely from a distance. I cannot imagine what it would have been like to have one overrun or come down upon me. Thinking about an intense windstorm coming off a mountain, or when my kids were little and we went to the beach, the intensity of the wind coming off the ocean was with nothing to slow it down. Picturing these scenes as what it might have been like for the disciples and those gathered when the Holy Spirit descended upon them at Pentecost. The intense gust of either wind or harmless flame blowing down upon them of those gathered. It sounds so harmless in the story that I read to the kids. The wind blast going through the room and the little tiny flames dancing on their foreheads or above their heads. But pulling back from this story and to observe that this is another key moment of three within the establishment, not only of the church on earth, but of our founding creeds, the Athanasius, the Nicene, and the Apostles' Creed. We had the first key moment last Sunday with Christ's ascension and his declaring he would be sending an advocate in his place, the Spirit of Truth, along with the significant pieces tied to his leaving to go to the right hand of the Father. When we left 1 John, the church was already living within the established community, blending the old and new faith traditions and worshiping as one body and spirit. However, where we pick up today, in the movement of this key occurrence, we are within a different swirl of flames. Christ is sending his advocate, identified as the Holy Spirit, to help with the establishing of the church on earth. To the disciples awaiting the promised advocate, Christ has promised as he is ascending, and they were already gathered together. So we have two occurrences which the Spirit comes upon them, depending on the interpretation of the author. Either a gust of wind or a breath of flames. This outpouring of the Spirit we see at Pentecost is the extension of what Christ has accomplished. First, when God breathed the Spirit upon Adam and Eve at creation, then when Christ breathed the Spirit on Lazarus, and when he breathed the Spirit on the disciples as he gathered around them in his final hours. In Acts, which is recorded after Christ's ascension, is when the true events of Pentecost was fulfilled, with the Spirit being poured out, either by the breath or of flames of wind, and encompasses all believers. It signified the creation of the Spirit endowed, the Spirit empowered, and the Spirit-led community, which is the formation of the church on earth. Starting in Jerusalem and spreading throughout the Roman Empire and beyond. Throughout these events, it led to more questions within the early church, especially within the second and fourth century. Well, it's more second throughout the fourth century. As one religion is trying to be established for each nation as the rulers are trying to get their foot in to the mess of the church. When the creeds are being written and the theologians are trying to debate where the Spirit's place is within the Holy Trinity. And it was determined after many battles and debates and bloodsheds and later the Great Church Schism, where the church splits between the Eastern and Western Church in 1053, that the Holy Spirit, and this is after all the debates, And this is going to be really boiled down. So the Holy Spirit's debated. The Holy Spirit teaches, leads, and empowers the church on Christ's behalf. Therefore, the Spirit is Christ at work in the believing community. The Holy Spirit is a mysterious divine force sent by the Father and Son to the church on earth so that the church could come into its fullness. The Spirit is the spirit of the relationship between the Father and the Son when confessed in the creeds. Thus, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is transformative, gives life to and lives within us. Thus, divine and personal. The Spirit of truth, our advocate, confessor, our comforter. For us, this reality of Pentecost is that the breath of the Spirit embraces all believers. And we and all beloveds enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit, who not only forms us into the fellowship with God, the divine, but God the Son, and the community of all believers. The Spirit, as I said, is our advocate, our counselor, our comforter, who goes to God on our behalf, who hears our cries of woes and answers and interprets those when we do not have the words to speak. It's the same Spirit that we receive in our baptism and the same Spirit that lives within us. And just as God's love is poured out into us by the Spirit, who is our helper when we need it. So my questions for us to percolate on, to think on, as the flames of the Spirit was blown onto those who were gathered and blows onto us and into us, how do we continue to share the love of the Spirit to all we encounter? Not only in our words, but through our actions. Knowing that it can be mesmerizing and terrifying to see the Spirit at work within us and around us. However, holding on to those promises, knowing it can be powerful when we allow the breath of the Holy Spirit to breathe life continually into us. So those are my questions for us to consider. Amen.